Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I'm your host, Robert Rosenthal. My guest is Mr. Will Leach. We are here to talk about Illinois basketball in the NCAA tournament. Will, how are you?
I'm antsy, nervous, frantic, like everybody else is right now. You know, I was listening. I was talking about this, but how much more nervous I am about this year's tournament because they lost to Loyola.
Yep.
Like even if they had gone to the Sweet 16 and lost, it'd have been frustrating, a bit of bummer. But that Loyola loss, and it's funny. In the moment, I was obviously upset. I think I was just so stunned by Loyola. Like it kind of came in waves of just really what had happened, and it kind of cascaded on us a little bit. And so I find myself thinking more and more about how, like, to be honest, in like early February, my ambitions for Illinois were incredibly high. Now I'm like, just get to the Sweet 16. I just need a Sweet 16. No, again, you've talked about this. No one wants to have two All-American banners in the ceiling and say they never got to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
Like that. That's super, super rough. So I'm very nervous and antsy about that in a way that, you know, I remember last year it was just exciting, right? It was just exciting to be there. And I felt like I had to like cross over some of the joy that we lost in 2020 to last year. This is the first time really, I think maybe since D's senior year that I'm actively really, really nervous about going tournament, because you know before in the years after that, like the early Gross year or like the couple of the Virginia Tech Western Kentucky year, you're like, okay, they're not that great. I'm like, if they win, that's awesome, but really I'm just kind of, it's cool to be in the tournament, right? And I think the Gross year, the last year of Weber and the first year of Gross were like that too. This is right in that scary strike zone that I think we hit in like the mid-aughts, right, where you're scared, where you're the favorite. And you should feel good, but you also haven't done anything. And also, if I have one more person, I'm sure I don't live in Illinois or around Illinois. So the main reference point that friends know about Illinois basketball for me is, oh man, I totally picked you guys in the tournament last year.
Right. Yep.
Like, I'm just like, screw off. That is like the least, like your bracket I could give two craps about. You just moved on with your day. Yep. But I'm still like, curse all nuns. I'm angry at all nuns now. So nuns are great. My parents are Catholic. I got no beef with nuns. But it was really, really hard. So this is, I'm so much more antsy heading into this than I really feel like I've been in a tournament since that Dee Brown season.
Yeah, I've told the story before that, you know, my friend Carmen and I went to the games last year, went to both Drexel and Loyola. And because everything was in Indy, especially around Lucas Oil, so, like, we went to, you know, the night after the Drexel game, we went to, like, West Virginia, Morehead State, and then we went to Texas Abilene Christian. We're just, you know, it was really kind of neat. A one year where every tournament game is all in the same city. We're wearing Illinois gear wherever we go, and people are stopping us saying, I've got you guys in the Final Four. I got you guys winning it all, you know? So you're just walking down, it's a movie scene where you're just walking down the street like, hey, thanks. Thanks, people. Hey, love you guys. Hey, yep, Illinois over here. And then, so for it all to be like that and all this confidence and then fall flat, that was what was so, so impossible.
Oh, yeah. And I really was like, when it happened, it was so shocking. I don't want to re-legislate that game. I don't want to rethink about that game. I don't want to remember how bad Iowa was in that game. Yep. And like, I just don't want to think about that because I love Iowa and I love, like, this is the only way I've ever been able to get my father into the NBA is letting him use my league pass that I used to watch Knicks games to watch Iowa and Malcolm Hill for that matter.
Yep.
And so it has been like super, super fun. I was nothing but love for Iowa, but I can't, like, Iowa, when I think of Iowa, not only do I think about how incredible he was, I think about how awesome he was in big games down the stretch. And he wasn't that game. That was super, super bad. And so there's just a lot of weirdness that has led to anxiety, which I suppose is good you know, I mean, this is the third straight year where Illinois would have been a four seed or higher. There's been no sweating. We all saw kind of the way they handled Selection Sunday. They were kind of like, I mean, they all have pink eye apparently.
Yes. So what else?
Maybe that had something to do with it. But certainly there was you look at everybody else and there's all this joy. And they were just like, okay, let's get going, let's get straightened out. And I think there is anxiety. There has to be anxiety within the team as well, because there's a sense that there's too much talent and too much goodness over a 3-year stretch. I don't think they're going to fall off the cliff or anything. I think you. And listen, there's a non-zero possibility that Kofi comes back. I mean, like, there's still these things in the air, but certainly with this 3-year stretch, with Trent, with all that he's gone through, to not get to the Sweet 16 would feel like a super gut punch, I have to say.
It would. And I feel like my nerves this year, like last year, I remember like my biggest concern was the COVID thing. Like I remember when VCU got announced, one player tests positive. Oh, they're out. That's it. Yep. You know? Yep. And it's like, there's one interaction with someone in the team hotel away from, Illinois out. That's it.
They've been so clean all year.
Right.
Right. Like, any issues?
Yep.
I always have that image after they finally lost in Georgie, like riding away on his bike or something and being like, wow, I can re-enter society.
Yep.
Like I can come back and actually interact with humans again. I can't imagine what that must have been like. Of course, everyone went through that. But yeah, that was all it really felt like after 2020, something else was going to get in the way. And it turned out it was actually us
in the way. That was the thing. That's what kind of snuck up on me. That all these other thoughts, I never even considered we wouldn't get to the second weekend. The concern is, can we beat Baylor in the rematch?
Yeah, Loyola made you nervous. Like, there's the fact that they were there, the fact that they were so high on KenPom, which we can talk about Houston. I feel like that's a different sort of high on KenPom, but we can discuss that. Totally. But the fact that Loyola was clearly underseeded, and it just felt like they were going to win, but you were definitely going to sweat. There was every other 8-9 game was someone that you'd have rather had.
Yep.
But I still didn't see that coming. Yeah. And not only did I not see it coming, it's not like, oh, man, it's not like the last time Illinois played Chattanooga in the tournament where Illinois was clearly the better team and then just a run got away from him and it was over. Loyola was the better team that entire game last year. And that was a really – it remains – I feel like this is the first time I've talked about it. it really is. It's still hard to wrap your mind around, I think, a year later.
And it's so crazy that, you know, I then settled into the whole, like, well, look, Loyola was 10 and KenPom. So we played a 3 seed as the 1 seed. Yeah. And then what do? They go and lose to Oregon State.
So yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, it's like, toss that out the window as well. And there's nothing left besides we choked. And
the whole bracket was spread out before him. The whole bracket was spread out before him last year.
Yes. The bracket spread out before them. In 1997, you had a bracket where Georgia, the 3 seed across from 6 seed Illinois, loses. The 2 seed Duke loses to Providence. Illinois has this path we can see with Kiwan and Chris Gandy leading us straight to the Elite Eight. All we have to do is beat 11 seed USC, which we did, then 14 seed Chattanooga, then 10 seed Providence, and Austin Crozier. Was that year? I think it was.
Austin Crozier and Gal Chamgod.
Yes, and it's all the way there. It's ready. We're ready for the Elite Eight, and we lose to Chattanooga. Your memories of that game. Let's just get all the bad stuff out of the way first, and then we'll talk good.
Yeah, I worked for the Daily Illini, but I was not there. I covered the team sophomore and junior years, and then I kind of shift over as the managing editor to news, and so I didn't feel like I could take – I wrote a column for the paper my senior year, but I wasn't a beat reporter for the team, so I felt like taking the press pass, their press pass to Charlotte, as much as I would have loved to have pulled rank. I probably was just like, they'll make it to the Sweet 16. I'll pull rank then or something.
Right.
So I didn't go, and, you know, I was a freshman. To me, I always say that, like, people ask, like, when did you go to college? If you're an Illinois basketball fan, I went the 4 Kiwan Garris years. Kiwan Garris was my freshman year. His senior year was my senior year. So I followed him all the way around. Remains one of my favorite stories I ever wrote for the DI, where I got to know him pretty well. And so I asked him, hey, I have a good idea for a story. Let me, schmucky dork guy, go out with you for a night in Champaign just to see how you're treated and to see how I am accordingly treated. And this was back when, like, athlete would be like, sure. Like, he didn't even go run it through Kit Brown. Or anything. Right. He was just like, sure, go ahead.
Yep.
And it was really fun. He was very, very cool about it. But then at a certain point, he's like, you're leaving now, right? Like, I'm going to go out with my actual friends. And so, where did you go?
Like, give me some old champagne old, haunts.
Remember, I wasn't in a frat. So okay. I never went to like Cam's or CO's. I was a Murphy's and like the White Horse, which is right across the street from the DI back then. Mm-hmm. I was like, find someone with a basement in Urbana where we could all do whippets all night.
Okay.
Like I was hardly and like sit in a corner with the hair in my eyes.
I'm pretty sure that's every house in Urbana, but go ahead.
Yeah. Just sit over there and be like, and smoke cloves, you know, like that was much more my style in college than the fraternity. But I was kind of, I was the one clove smoker, I guess. I didn't see what Austin was smoking back then, but I was the one clove smoker on the beach. For the Illini. Garris followed my whole time. So I was there when Lon Kruger was hired. Like Kruger, I think I said this the last time I've talked to you before about this, but Kruger, because he wanted to get in cool with the student newspaper, the students, he gave his first interview to the student newspaper, the sports editor, me. And so I interviewed him. The first question I asked him was like, hey, so what are your thoughts on the chief? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, he's like, I'm like, do you have thoughts about it? He's like, what do you mean? Like, I don't, I guess I like the chief. Do people not like the chief? I was like, oh, well, A, thank you for running my lead for me. And B, I think you have a lot to learn around here.
Yeah.
So I covered the end of Hinson, the beginning of Kruger. And then this was, of course, that second year. So I didn't go to this game, but I do vividly remember that idea, which was not only had the path cleared, by the way, let this be the last time ever that Georgia has a higher seed in the NCAA tournament than Illinois.
That's a good point.
Season ticket holder for Georgia.
Yes, that's a good point.
But because I live in Athens, but I would say that it was clearly all spread out before them, and really, you know, it felt like that was an older team, right? Gandy was a senior that year too, and Heldman, I think, was a year younger, and Turner was a year younger.
Correct, but yeah, all the seniors from the 98 team that won the Big Ten. Were juniors. Yeah. I think that was the year Hester had to sit out a year because
of the
injury.
That's right.
So and that was the only reason.
Right before the season started, like right after the season started.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember writing a column for the DI being like, can you imagine fellow seniors if someone just told you, oh, you're staying of the year. Like,
right.
Like I've already made everything in that regard. Obviously, athletics are different than that, but I certainly do remember that. But you're right. That was no tree before the weird DePaul thing and all of that. And Brian Johnson, I believe that was his freshman year, maybe a sophomore year.
I think he would have been a junior, but he had walked on but didn't play. And then all of a sudden, Kruger was like, hey, who's this kid? I might want to start him.
Yeah, right. Because he was like a straight-A student. That was like the thing,
yes,
right? That's right.
Yes, that was the thing, yes.
So like that felt like just this great opportunity, and it was gone like that.
Yep.
Like they were ahead of halftime in that game. Like they were ahead of halftime. They weren't blowing them away, but certainly it felt like if this team could get out of its own way. And it reminded me so much of the tournament game that I did cover at the Daily Illini, which was 1995, which also was one that ended up spreading out before them, right? Because they ended up with Tulsa in the first game, and I remember that was the Shelly Clark. Was the big guy on that team who was really mad at me. For those who remember, Shelly Clark had that home invasion incident during while he was there that I had unwittingly broke. I didn't mean to break it. I broke it, but I wasn't like out for him. I just, the Daily Line, I had a police reporter every day that went in. And I was I'm sure the other police reporters have not known who Shelly Clark was. Unfortunately, the sports editor was on the beat that day. So I discovered that. So it was a big thing with that team. But I remember interviewing them in the locker room after the game. You know, in 2005, they were not 2005, in 1995, they were an 11 seed. Tulsa was the higher seed.
Yep.
But like, I remember in the locker room, someone saying, well, we really thought that they were just going to roll over for us. I'm like, really? like they're an 11 seed.
Yes.
And it speaks to a general Illinois problem, which is never winning as a lower seed, which is the big frustrating thing. So it reminded me of that, but it definitely felt the difference there was, and I think it would be different than a loss to Chattanooga here, is it was still early. Mm-hmm. Like it was early recruit for Kruger. It feels a little bit, I would say that the last Chattanooga loss feels closer, more analogous to maybe the Miami loss, where it felt like
Mm-hmm.
we get coach's tenure. He's going to be bringing in his own people. There's a lot of excitement about the new coach. This feels like a little bit like you're playing with house money. It was a bummer to lose for Garris, for example, for some of those seniors. But like they won the like they clearly they were building something good. Like good things all happened after they were building something. I feel like in the Miami loss, as frustrating as that call was in that game, it still felt like, oh, they showed such heart. And when the recruits come in and when Gross puts this all together, it felt like you could talk, you could make yourself feel better about it. This, it turned out not to be the case. It turned out that it didn't work out at all. But I think that was the thought at the time. This a loss to Chattanooga here, as rough as, and the reason that everybody like you and like many others that remember that twitched when Chattanooga came up in the ballot. I think this would be worse. I really think this would be worse. And I don't think there's any question about that.
And I mean, again, famous last words. I don't want to put anything out there that I'm going to totally regret. You know, you mentioned Trent earlier, and I have this like I'm like you, like, we're just going to remember Loyola as Iowa's worst game, maybe in his last 2 years. And it sucks that it happened then, and I hate it for him. It just is what it is. That last turnover just burned into my mind where ball dribbles out of bounds, and he just kind of looks at the sky like, wow, it's,
what
I
happened?
I don't have it. It's not there. I don't know where it went, but it's not there. So, you know, that does put pressure on this, but I just can't see Trent Frazier losing this game. I can't see our defense not being some kind of like woe for Chattanooga. That's usually the thing with these seeds, that they're usually ready for it and this and that, and then it gets midway through the first half and it's like, I, you know, to Chattanooga, it's like, I don't know, how do we can't get past that Trent guy, we can't get to the lane because of Kofi, what how are we supposed to score tonight, you know, that kind of thing. So that's the kind of game I picture. I'm not trying to put anything out there that's gonna,
of course,
I'm totally running regret, but that's the thing. So then it comes to Houston, which is, you know, everybody's reacting just like last year. You mentioned it earlier, the biggest kind of difference with Houston is that they've lost to, you know, a 10 point score and a 17 point score. So they've guy actually almost average 18. They lost 28 points per game from two guys getting injured in December and being out for the season. So you know, maybe their KenPom ranking is boosted by the fact that they were really good and played well against Wisconsin and other high majors when they were, you know, when they had their full team. They did roll through their conference, but they did it without those two guys and maybe don't have the same. They're basically kind of a five-man team and with very, very little depth with those two guys out. So what are your thoughts toward if we advance to Houston? What are your thoughts toward that?
Just very, very quickly, just so I don't put something bad in the universe either, I do want to talk very quickly about the Chattanooga game, which is to say, listen, a lot of things are going wrong. Like, that Indiana game was so frustrating because Illinois, I mean, clearly should have won that game, right? Like I think you can make an argument.
Two bunnies.
Yeah, like, you can make an argument that Iowa feels that way about the Illinois game at the end of the season. Yeah. I think Iowa probably feels like they should have won that game.
And they
lost, and I think Illinois feels that way, should feel that way about the Indiana game. They were clearly the better team. They just missed some dumb shots. But the thing is, you know, Indiana plays good defense. They got a couple guys that got hot. That's what happens. It feels like if you've got Chattanooga, what do you have Kofi for if you can't, like you should be able to beat Kofi. You should be able to beat Chattanooga with Kofi and four guys that just get the ball into Kofi. Like, all the other things that are going on with this team and all the other things we have, Kofi himself, like, that's what's cool about having Kofi is, sure, if he runs into Oscar Tshiebwe or, like, we've seen, you know, when he comes in with Edie, like, some of these guys can give him problems. Chattanooga should not be able to give him That's the whole point. That's why they didn't really lose. They're never really – they often win those games against a team. Well, they're always crushing Minnesota, and they're always beating Wisconsin with Kofi. They don't have anybody that can stop Kofi. And so even if Trent doesn't get it going, even if Plummer still can't hit, even if Curbelo does some crazy stuff, it just feels like having Kofi himself is enough to beat Chattanooga. Now, we'll see. The weird things can happen. I don't want to say that. Say otherwise, Chattanooga is a good team, and I think a better team than there. Than I think I mean, there might not be Seth Davis good. I think they are pretty good. But to me, like, if they lose to Chattanooga, then it's just like, geez, I don't even know where to go. Then I am worried about Underwood taking off for LSU or Kansas State to get the hell out of town. But I do feel like otherwise Chattanooga's there is good. I think Houston, it's worth noting that Houston has no quad one wins until the last game of the year. They got their first quad one win against Memphis.
Yeah.
They had no quad one wins. And part of that is the schedule. Gary Parrish has talked about this on the CBS College Basketball Podcast with Matt Orlando, which is a great, great podcast. Not as great as we love, we have no other.
Mm-hmm, still of course. Yes. Number two is fine. Yeah.
And, but it very much, he's talked a lot about, he has this concept of computer trickers. And the idea that people just schedule correctly and schedule correctly and don't play teams that are too low, and you can and when you win, win by a bunch, and when you lose, lose by a little, and that will be enough. And I think that you have it's why I always am team Robert Rosenthal on the go ahead and keep scoring at the end of the game, because it's never going to hurt you.
Yes.
It's never, unless Juwan Howard punches you, yes, it's never actually going to hurt you.
Yes.
And so I think Houston's had a little bit of that. Listen, Samson's a terrific coach. And I know that I remember my father calling me from halftime of the game saying, I think the guy I'm sitting with just yelled at Eric Gordon's mom. And I'm like, well, don't tell him not to do that. I appreciate the, like, don't do that. But like, he was at that game, which Indiana won, by the way, where everyone went totally crazy, the Eric Gordon game. So I understand. Mm-hmm. The Sampson, though it's worth noting that in an age where Bruce Pearl is able to subsist, Kelvin Sampson feels like a relatively minor offender. Yes. in the vast spectrum of things. But certainly I understand Illinois fan vitriol for him. I have some of it myself. That said, he's a terrific coach, and he's a terrific game coach in a way that a terrific big game coach, even in a way that, frankly, I think nationally there's still a little bit of concern about Underwood. And in a way, that I think when you see most people, I've seen most people pick Illinois in this game, but the ones that don't often go back to that matchup, Sampson. They like Sampson to be able to adjust and give the team the best chance to win. And that worries me a little. But again, this is the thing with, like, listen, we've watched this team all year. They've lost 9 games. They've lost some games they should not have. Mm-hmm. Like, there's frustration. There's no question about it. So we all know they can lose it. Like, I watched the UGBTQ, whatever that game was.
Mm-hmm.
One that we watched on Big Ten, the Big Ten Plus.
UTRGV.
Thank you. Yep. Which used to be Rio, well, they used to be Texas Pan American.
Correct. Where Lon started, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So I remember, I it's Texas Pan American. I remember them.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's just they've changed the name. I haven't adjusted because I'm old. so the point is that, like, that game was lousy. You're like, wow, maybe they really, really are really difficult. But then they got it together after that. It feels like talent-wise, this, and listen, talent-wise, they should have beat Loyola, but also the Loyola game just went sideways on them. Like, they just went sideways in a way that's not dissimilar to felt like the Cincinnati game.
Yes.
Went sideways. They have occasional games where things go sideways. I mean, you hope that doesn't happen, but line up across of them, you feel good. You feel good about both of those games. And I think I sent this to you on Twitter right before for one of the mock brackets I saw of, like, who my ideal 1, 2, and 3 seeds. 1, 2, 3, 4, like, 5 seeds. Houston was right in there as my ideal 5 seed if Illinois got a 4. This is kind of one of the teams I wanted there. I did not want UCLA, for example.
Yep.
You'd much rather have Houston than UCLA. I would rather have Baylor than Arizona, but whatever.
Right.
Well, if the goal is the very least is to get to Sweet 16, to let us have like 4 or 5 days where we're like, all right, no matter what happens, we made the Sweet 16. Yep. And like, get dialed up for Arizona, or, you know, dialed up for Seton Hall, who knows.
Yep.
That'd be great. But it does feel, I think Illinois is in the toughest bracket, but I think they have one of the easier paths to the Sweet 16, probably the easiest path to the Sweet 16 of any other 4 seed.
I would agree with that. And I'm going to segue again. So the thing I sent you the text earlier today,
yes,
and the thing I wanted to talk about, which is, like, I feel like just from interacting with fans and, you know, just basically what I do on a daily basis of, you know, these emails, and I'm on Slack here, and I'm in my Twitter DMs, and I'm going through my mentions and this and that, just get a general sense of things. And my general sense is that there's this, I don't know, side of the fan base that doesn't understand how much we were in the 4-5 game, how much we dominate this space, and how much it feels just like Houston. Like, there were all these reactions to Houston. Like, this is 4-5 land, baby. Like, this is what happens. So yeah. I just wanted to go through. I'm just going to read them out real quick, yeah. and then we'll just talk through. So after what we just talked about, so after Chattanooga 97, we lose to Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. 98, Kruger has that all-senior team. He starts five seniors in, you know, Jerry Hester's back. So he's starting Matt Heldman, Kevin Turner, Jerry Hester, Brian Johnson, and Jared G. So five seniors started. We win the Big Ten. Teddy Valentine throws Bobby Knight out of the game for checking on his player under the basket. We win that game, which clinches the Big Ten title. You know, we're kind of on this super high. We end up getting a, let's see, 98 was a five seed. Big Ten was down a little bit that year. And we lost in the 4-5 game to Maryland. As I remember, that was kind of the Maryland preview game. I think, wasn't somebody from the 02 championship team a freshman? Maybe Lonnie Baxter was a freshman on that team? Anyway, regardless, we lost that game to Maryland. We lost in the 4-5 game. So we had beaten South Alabama in the 5-12, but then lost to Maryland by 6. 99 is the total rebuild year. We graduated five seniors. You know, we were complete rebuild. I think we went 3-13 in the Big Ten or whatever. But then Frank comes in.
Don't forget another thing that happened in 99. They made it to the Big Ten championship game.
That's right. Yes.
they came all the way from last place and made it to the Big Ten.
They beat the Michael Red Ohio State game team in the semifinals.
Yes.
But then failed in the final.
Completely out of guess. Yes. Right. Completely out of guess.
But then we get, you know, then it's this big boost in 2000. Marcus Griffin is finally over from JUCO. Sergio's a junior. Frank, who is prop 48 as a freshman, Frank is eligible to play. Brian Cook is there. And so 2000 is this huge jump forward. We have a solid team. We get a four seed. And in 2000, that's the game we lose in the 4-5 game to Florida. That's a Florida team that went on to the title game. They lost to Michigan State in the title game. I think of it as the Teddy DuPay team, only because he tried to injure Mateen Cleaves in the championship game.
Big Ten team to win the national championship was this. That is how long it's been.
Yes.
DeMonte's dad played in that game.
Yes, correct. DeMonte's
dad
correct.
Played in that game.
Yes.
That's Jameer Kapalia was a part of the game. Poor one out for Robert Archibald.
Uh-huh. Yes. And, Lucas Arch, Kapalia.
Kukadebe.
I guess it was. Yes.
Kukadebe was in that game.
Oh, Victor was in there. Nice.
Jameer Kapalia. Oh, Kapalia was in that game.
Love it.
Cleotis Brown. I forgot about Cleo. I'm looking at the box score, obviously. Uh-huh. I completely forgot about Cleotis Brown.
Known for one thing. What is the one thing Cleotis is known for? Scoring in the wrong basket on a rebound. I can't remember the opponent. He just
very
got turned
Cleotis
around.
Thing to do. Yes.
Rips down the rebound, thinks it's an offensive board, puts it back in. Realizes he scored for the other team. Lovely.
I got a seven-year-old, man. I know how it goes.
Okay, so 2001, then it's the big leap forward. You know, Frank is a superstar. We, you know, Griffin's a senior. We get a one seed. That's the Arizona game. We can throw that out. 2002, we're back in our 4-5 land. We're the four seed. I basically remember that one as we rolled through San Diego State, and then Creighton had beat, I can't remember who the five seed was that year. But we got to do the 13-12 thing, which is something that could happen this weekend. There's no UAB could beat Houston. They've got this kid who shoots 23s a game. So UAB could pull off something like that. And then we do beat Creighton. So we get kind of lucky. We go 13-12. And then we have
Creighton
Sweet 16.
Creighton beat Florida, by the way, in that first round game.
There you go.
Crazy. Full circle.
There you go. And then we have the Sweet 16 game with Kansas. Kansas is the one seed. They were rolling. We start this wild comeback. I want to say Sean Harrington hit a couple threes, and suddenly we get the ball. God, I'll probably get it wrong. I feel like we get the ball with like 45 seconds left, and Brian Cook had a three to tie it or take the lead from the top of the key. Kind of only glanced off the side of the rim,
yes.
off the low
yes.
end of the backboard and down. Kansas got the rebound, but they missed the front end. We come back. Frank had a floater to tie it, and Frank never misses a floater.
And missed the floater.
Frank missed the floater.
Just like Luther Head never misses that three.
Yes. And yeah. So we foul and they hit two free throws and that was the ball game. So, yes. So yeah, I guess the Cook three would have then taken the lead
I think that's correct.
So yes. that was some more heartbreak. But then 0-3, what are we again in the 4-5 game? We right. beat Western Kentucky and then we have Notre Dame. It's known as the Danny Miller game. Mm-hmm. He hits freaking, I think, 7 threes, including like 5 in the first half. He was a transfer from Duke? Where did UNC? Oh. Danny Miller transferred to Notre Dame from somewhere and basically single-handedly won that game by having the single best shooting day of his entire life.
Very annoying.
But that's why I wanted
very,
to go through
this. Very yes. annoying game.
Yes.
Very
it was Self's game. Final game. Yeah. It was weeks before Roy would leave for UNC and all the dominoes start falling. Yes. But yes, that was, I was at a wedding in Florida watching in a hotel room, throwing things around the hotel room. Danny Miller is forever etched into my memory.
We were favored in that game, like substantially.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Game. Yeah.
Because we had, I mean, that was a 0-2 is kind of similar to this year. Like that's probably the best comp to this year. Yeah. That it was there, but then it wasn't, and we were ranked high, but then we weren't, and then we were up, and we were down, and it just didn't happen, and we couldn't get the, you know, didn't we finish one game out of the title that year, or did we, is that the year Frank hit the shot at Minnesota, and we ended up tied for that? Maybe that's the Frank shot. Maybe we did end up sneaking a share. Now, there's another. Right. On the Sunday, the final day of the year, we snuck in there and got a share of the Big Ten title, and we got a 4 seed, and then... And that was that 4-5 game. So we have this thing where we just keep going back and forth and back and forth. We're a 4, we're a 5, we're a 4, we're a 5. We're a 5 again the next year in 04. This is Weber's first year. This is
after the mock funeral.
After the mock funeral, the beginning of the season goes horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. We lose to Providence in
I was at that game.
Madison Square Garden.
Yep. I was at that game.
And we lost by what, 20?
I remember thinking they got blown out. And I remember literally being there thinking, who the hell did we hire?
Yeah.
Like who would like what again, I'm from Central Southern Illinois. Like I got no beef with Carbondale. But I was like, did we like that was a fear when they hired him. It was like, this is a big job.
Yeah.
And it was really, really worrisome. And I think the things that we would later associate with Weber there was no good feeling to go with them yet, and yes. I think there was a lot of real frustration. They looked awful in that game, and also I think that was before Darren broke his jaw.
Yeah,
because remember when he broke his jaw and he lost all that weight, and all of a sudden he came back,
wire his jaw shut.
And so like it was really really bad. I did not realize that the Duke game, The time that they lost to Duke, the starting five in their loss to Duke.
Hit me.
Head, Brown, Powell, Williams, Augustine.
That's same right. Five. That's right. That's right. So, why was I thinking there was a senior?
Because the year before had Cook.
Yeah.
The year before had Cook, but didn't have Dean Darren.
Yep.
And so it was very like, you know, it was very like it, the pieces were all there.
Yes, definitely. And I remember that season spinning on the Indiana game. I think we won at Indiana. The score's like something like 51-49, where, you know, we had been struggling, and then somehow squeaked out a win. I think Nick Smith hit a baseline jumper. Shout out Nick Smith. And we won at Indiana, and then we saw the beginning of the 05 team. Like, from that point forward, that was late January. Then February, March looked like world beaters. And honestly, that Duke game, if we are matched with any other team, that was a bad matchup for us. But if we're matched with any, I think that was the Sheldon Williams Duke team. I can't remember.
Sheldon Williams, Lou Alding, JJ Redick, Chris Duhon.
Yeah, JJ Redick. Awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the Chris Duhon's rib game, where he magically healed himself and fixed his own broken rib in order to put in points. Anyway, So we've kind of lived in this 4-5 game forever. That one, I mean, I remember the Cincinnati game. So that was the 4-5 game that year. We were the 5, they were the 4. That's the first time we ever technically beat a higher seed, was we were the 5 and we beat Cincinnati the 4. We've only done it twice. We also do when UNLV was the 8 and we were the 9 in 2011. That's our only victories ever over a higher seed. But yeah, so that Cincinnati game was a too pretty game. That's what I call that game, because the Cincinnati players had made this quote that made it into like the student paper that said Darren was too pretty to play basketball and something about his earring or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And so Darren goes off for 25 points or something like that.
We 31.
31. Okay.
31. So. 31. Look at this beautiful line, by the way. Head had 9 assists, D had 8 assists, and Darren had 7 assists. Oh,
that's what it's supposed
to look like. That's what it's supposed to look like right
yes.
now.
So that's, you know, and I remember a lot of people were afraid of Cincinnati in that game. Like, that was not going to be, you know, they were the higher seed. They were a pretty good Cincinnati team. Is that Nick Exel? Who you at the box?
Jason Maxiel.
Oh,
not Nick Van Exel. Not Nick Van Exel.
Okay.
But Jason Maxiel. Let's see. I think Field Williams. I don't actually remember this team.
I remember is we were up like 31 at some point or something like that. Like, yeah, it was over quickly.
I love those games so much. They happen so rarely in the tournament. And to me, like, the great one was UNLV. Like, that was the, like, holy cow. Like, for the record, that is also the game, if I may go back in Will Leach history, that is literally the game where that afternoon we found out that my wife was pregnant with our first child.
Oh, wow.
And we're not telling any of our friends, because we had this whole evening planned out, because my friends would indulge me. We were at some, like, New York, like, Lower East Side bar. And I was like, hey, you guys got to come watch the Illini game with me. Like, okay, fine. Then we have to be nice to our friend. And then we found out that afternoon, I was like, we are saying nothing. Like, Illinois wiped them out. I think UNLV like a little run, but they were up by like 20 at halftime in that game.
Yeah, so. I if I remember correctly, Illinois was up 35 in that game.
Yeah.
And then UNLV cut it to like 13 was the final score, but that's because the last 8 minutes we basically put the bench in. So we live in this space. And the point of why I wanted to go through all this is, like, this 4-5 thing is something us older Illini fans know. Like, this is where we've always lived, in this space of, look, that's a good – Houston's a tough matchup. And then we just got to get there to the Sweet 16 and then see what we've got against Arizona. You know, we did that in 04. Let's just beat this tough Cincinnati matchup and then see where we can go, see what we can get to, you know, when we face that really tough Duke team. You know, 02 was, okay, fine. We got it lucky. Creighton beat Florida. Mm-hmm. We can knock off Creighton. Now let's see what we got against Kansas. That's the feeling I have going into – I mean, look, 06 was the same way. So, everybody knows 05. 06, we were the 5 or the 4? 06, were the 4 again. That's right. We should have been 3. We were 10th in the polls.
Yep.
We have a pretty – fairly simple win over Air Force, and freshman Jamar Smith hits like 6 threes.
To this day, considered one of the worst tournament teams of all time, that Air Force team.
Yep.
I think they were like the full – we can't believe this team even made the tournament team. Correctly.
And then we have that second round matchup with Washington that we never want to reference or remember.
Right.
It was two straight years that we had a late lead, 06 against Washington and 07 against Virginia Tech, and we blew them both. But again, that's the same thing. We know this 4-5 game so well. It's obviously because of seeds, a 4 next to a 5, they're going to be even matchups. It was in 98. It was in 2000. You know, really the only blowout game of any of these 4-5 games was that Cincinnati blowout. But, you know, that's kind of where we lived for a long time. So, A, it's nice to be back there. It's nice to exist in that space again where we were a 1 last year and a 4 this year. And 2, that's the life of the 4-5 seed, is you're going to have that tough second-round matchup to get to the Sweet 16. I'm not looking past Chattanooga. We've acknowledged it. We've talked about it. We've said our fears. But, you know, this Houston game, which is the, look, this team needs to get to the Sweet 16, and then beyond that is gravy. Well, we know how this goes. And it's probably going to be tough. And we, you know, that's where we are. So those are my thoughts. What are your thoughts on this space?
Yeah, it's the thing about those 4-5 seasons is they're all, so save for the 5 where they lost to Western Kentucky, which we didn't really talk about in 09.
Yeah.
But short of that, they're all surrounded one seeds, right? They're all surrounded by like these great years. I think this is one of the, you know, being, again, I wouldn't consider us older Illinois fans. I would just say us.
Experience.
Yes. And I would say that a large part of that comes with recognizing that one thing that Illinois fans have never had ever is a team that came out of nowhere. Is it like that Texas Tech from a couple of years ago or South Carolina? Remember that South Carolina team with Frank Martin, the one team that he had before he got fired, they made the tournament. Yep. He went to the four and or UCLA last year for that matter. Mm-hmm. Illinois, they never has that. They, I mean, again, they have two wins over a higher seed ever in this tournament. Yep. And which I think leads to the general sense of why everyone is going to kind of always be in a little bit of a defensive crouch coming into the tournament, because the experience Illinois has with this tournament is either having an all-timer of a team who has their season end in incredibly disastrous, frustrating fashion, whether it is in the Final Four or against freaking Sister Jean, who made me dislike all nuns, and nuns are wonderful people. And so it's one of those three things, or you are like, it's very rare. I think the last time was probably, I guess, like Kansas 10 years ago, maybe, I guess Miami was the idea of, okay, they lost, but it's cool.
Yep.
Like, cool, they're building something, because now you realize how kind of fragile that is. And you, and what's funny is during that stretch where they were around 4 and 5 and battle and toggling back and forth in that, it felt like now it feels like like we're looking at 4 now. We're being like, all right, cool. This is three, like they didn't play 2 years ago, but this is 3 straight years where Illinois would have been a top 16 seed. This is where we should be. This is where what Illinois should be. And I think the reason that Illinois fans feel that way is not 2005 and not 1989. It's all these years you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's all these years where they were 4 or 5, they weren't superstar teams, they weren't incredible teams, but they were good and they were solid and they were generally favored until they came up against one of those superstar teams.
Yep.
That's around where Illinois has traditionally been. Now, I think the frustration along all Illinois fans like us, experienced loyalists as we are, it's frustrating to lose to, like, oh, that Kansas team is so much better than this. That Duke team is so much better than this. The second Kansas team was so much better than this. Like, they lost to Kansas twice in 10 years, and both of them, and one against Self, which I was actually, I was expecting to be more angry about that than I was. So I think that, like, there's always seemed to be this sort of ceiling, which is why when you had one of those truly special teams, like last year and like the 89 team, like the 05 team, you felt like you had to do it now.
Yep.
You had to do it now because we're used to being in that 4 and 5 and hoping to catch a break. Now, what's been terrible about the last 10 years is now you're like, it has been like, oh my God, to dream to be back in the 4 and 5 range would be so wonderful. And I think that is what Underwood's been able to do. And I think, assuming he does not run for LSU or Kansas State, is something that he's going to be able to sustain for a while, which is, I think this is where Illinois fans truly believe they belong. When you hear people Dickinson from Michigan talking about Illinois fans, they haven't done anything. I think it's not like Illinois fans are like Georgia football fans were before last year. Like, we have to win the national championship, or this is terrible. I want a national championship before I die. It'd be super, super nice to get one. But what we are really looking for is to get back in this. You know what? The floor is 4, 5, 6. Like, that's around the floor. That's what we're looking for. Illinois is a top 16 program in basketball, and you want to be there all the time. And then you're going to have some years where you're going to make a leap forward, and you're going to have some years where you have to rebuild a little bit, and maybe you're a bubble team, and then you work yourself back up. But that idea of 4 or 5, that's from this era that you're talking about. Well, we got so used to that, and that's about where Illinois felt like they should be every year. I still feel like this is about where they should be every year. Again, some years you can go up a little bit. We'd like to have that special year every once in a while. That's why it's so worrisome that these three special teams may not actually be able to get to break through. But generally speaking, you want to be around this range every year. I think it's where Illinois belongs. Generally in the pecking order, maybe a little bit higher, not usually a little bit lower, but around it should be the expectation to be shooting for a 4 or 5 seed every year and hopefully have a good year. Like, listen, look at this season. This has been a good year. We've been very solid. I don't think there's a diehard Illinois fan around that's not at least a little bit disappointed with this season so far.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that they've been bad or that we think the players are chokers or anything like that at all. But you've got an All-American. You got an All-American. You got all these seniors coming back. You got all this stuff. There is an expectation that this 4 seed feels below where they should be. But 4 seed generally, this feels like about where Illinois should be aiming for every year. So think of it as the Cardinals' plan. Aim for like that 87. Can you believe the Cardinals came up in this podcast, Robert? Think of it like you're shooting for 87, 88 wins every year. Some year you're going to get hot and you're going to fly, you know, through that and win 100 games. Some year you're going to fall a little short and get 83 and hope the rest of the division, hope you can sneak in or something. But that feels where Illinois belongs. And hopefully the groundwork has been put in place to make that happen. The problem is, the issue is, I actually think this team is better than a 4 team.
Yes.
And I think that's what's felt frustrating about this year, is it feels like this is, you would like to have put yourself in a position where you're a 2-3 seed and you don't have to play Arizona till the regional final.
Yep.
And that feels like the opportunity that was missed.
And you said it there, like there's this, you know, we've never had that team to sneak through. As you were saying that, I thought of that 2000 Florida team that we lost to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were a 5 seed, made it all the way to the final and lost to Michigan State. They got hot at the right time. This made me look it up. I'm like, didn't they almost lose? Because I remember like thinking that we might be playing like a 12 seed that year. So I looked it up, and they did. That was the game where they made a layup, like a bounced on the rim 3 times layup. I can't remember who made it. Miller, maybe? I Brett Nelson? I can't remember who made the layup, but they beat Butler 69-68 in the first round. and that was, you know, then they go on to beat us. Then they face number 1 seed Duke. They get on this roll. They beat Oklahoma State in the Elite Eight. They get to the Final Four. Who'd they beat in the Final Four? I'm going to need to look this up now. They beat North Carolina by 12 in the Final Four. That was that weird Final Four where 2 8 seeds made it. Carolina, and Wisconsin made it. Everybody was falling apart that year. And suddenly this 5 seed is in the title game. You're right. We've never, ever, ever, ever had that. And so that's our, like, I want to end on that. Like, I want to end with that picture in our brains that this fan base, I feel like at some point that has to happen, right? At some point we have to have the 4 seed that makes the Final Four. Like you mentioned, the South Carolina Frank Martin team, like, you know, did that Providence Austin Kosher team, did they make the Final Four? I can't remember. But
or like that, remember that West Virginia team with Pitsnoggle?
Yes.
That would be a good example of it. Like,
yes.
Team, like, and if you ever go into other sports, the Arizona Cardinals team that got hot and made to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like a team that frankly, there's actual similarities. Illinois has obviously been a lot better than they were that year. Mm-hmm. But the pieces were all there. They just never got it together until right when it counted.
Say that Kofi is Kurt Warner. Just say it, because that'll warm my soul.
I would say Kofi is Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
It's Kurt Warner. And so I think that's what all of these threads that we're talking about, all of these different things of only having those all-timer teams, only having, like, again, I'm going to bring up the Cardinals again, but this is the great joke of the 06 team, right? Mm-hmm. The Cardinals were the series in 06. That team was the worst of that entire run. They were clearly at the end of it. Like Edmonds and Roland were not, Pulis was still great, but the second best player on the team was Chris Duncan. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that team was not, like, God bless his soul.
R.I.P.
He had a great year that year.
Yep.
But, like, you know, he was not an all-star to any stretch of the imagination. You didn't look at that team and think, oh, man, look out. They're going to get hot.
So Taguchi, baby.
Exactly. But in 04, you're like, this team's a juggernaut. In 05, you thought that team was great. 01, that team was totally awesome.
Yep.
And none of them did it. But the 06 team did.
Yep.
And, like,
because of the Scott Spezio triple against the Brewers in the second to last game.
And Jeff Weaver turning into Cy Young.
Yes.
And like weird things happening. That's what's never really happened for Illinois. They've never had someone go Johnny Juicing. like UCLA had during the tournament last year, where just like, you know, Illinois is capable of it. I still believe they're capable of it. We've spent there've been three or four moments this year I thought, well, maybe they can be better than last year's team. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't. Season has not been better than last year's, mm-hmm. but there were times in that Michigan game you thought, okay, okay, this is what we've been waiting to click. And so, as Illinois fans, we're generally used to that not happening. We're generally used to the flaws reveal themselves that are there in the regular season that you hope they will get fixed in the tournament, don't. Or the idea that, like, I was trying to think of the ways that Illinois would lose. That'd be like, yep, that is exactly how this team lost this year. Free throws will clearly be an issue. Getting pressed will be an issue. Or a big four draining shots over in foul trouble Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah.
And having DeMonte guarding him because he's short. Like, those flaws that we've seen in the team that we've thought they'd be able to overcome. It don't seem like major things, but the stuff that felt like they've kept them from reaching their top potential this year. The great teams like the UCLA lost like 13 games. They were the last team in last year. They were
Lost to Michigan State in the play-in.
In that game. Yes. I thought it was done. They were ahead late in that game. And so, but when it came time, Ju Zhang became the player, his best self. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys became the best self, and they darn near won the national championship, or at least got the national championship game. Illinois never had that. They never had that where, you know what, for 2 weeks, or like what the Braves did last year in the playoffs, where all of a sudden everything was just like, oh, this is like, we are our best selves at the exact run. That's never happened for Illinois. The only time Illinois makes runs like that, but when you're like, yeah, they're so talented and they're so good. And listen, if Illinois doesn't make that incredible comeback against Arizona in 05, that game is worse. That's our Loyola game. That's another Loyola, probably worse. And so, you know, the idea of and that's a special all-time moment, one of my favorite sports moments of all time. Mm-hmm. Being an Illinois fan is a life of misery. The Nick Anderson shot, the Andy Kaufman shot. Like, there's all these great things that have happened. I'm not saying that. Yep. But certainly you've never had that moment where everything lands right. And I think, to put all these strands back together, the one thing that this feels like a team that has underachieved, and so if they lose, it will be obviously a gut punch, but not shocking in the way that Loyola was shocking. But if they win, you'll be like, oh, this is the team we thought we had. All told, I'd rather be in that spot of if they get to the Sweet 16, then it's all house money. It's all house money thing. But I think the pieces are there to make a run, and the pieces are also there to break our hearts, which is to bring us back full circle in the conversation, completely terrifying. And that is the reason I won't be sleeping well tonight.
So what I hear you saying is that Alfonso Plummer is Johnny Ju Zhang.
Yeah,
that Kofi is Larry Fitzgerald. That Trent is Scott Spezio.
Trent is Yachty.
Okay. Trent is Yachty.
Definitely Yachty. Okay. But I would say that. I make all the parallels, but like, you can like, what we've been saying all year about like what was the next gear for Illinois? If you can get Hawkins and Curbelo going, if you get Curbelo going, that's the next gear that they have. Well, what's happened? The two of them. I know Curbelo's been frustrating for some people, but generally speaking, if he feels close, like he feels close, and Hawkins is playing the best ball of his career. Unfortunately, as tends to happen, there another hole came up in the dam, and now Frazier's struggling. Mm-hmm. And Plummer, I swear to God, I almost had a conniption when he passed up that shot. I was like, Plummer never passes up. What are you doing, man? Yeah, yeah. Like, if you pass up that shot, you don't even get to play anymore. Like that's literally why you're here. Yep. That was the most. It wasn't so much that he was shooting and missing. It's when he passed up that shot, I was like, oh wow, he is totally in between and in like a scary spot right now. Yep. And I think that's another thing that frustrating teams have, when like, oh, we got these two things we've been waiting all year for, and at that exact moment, Trent and Plummer start really struggling, and Grandison goes out,
right?
And like, That, and everybody gets pink eye.
Right, right. So, right. So, like, so as long as we avoid rickets, everybody drinks their orange juice. Then
but I think that's the thing. And listen, I'll put it this way. If Illinois goes on this crazy run and beats Arizona and gets and makes that Final Four run to New Orleans, I will be surprised, but I won't be shocked. Because, like, this is the stuff, like, it's there. Yep. It's there. And I think that's why not making the Sweet 16 would be so frustrating, because it's one thing to lose to a really good Arizona team who you had this terrific game against earlier in the year, and maybe you don't. To go against two teams I think you're clearly better than, to lose one of those, it would feel like the same old Illinois tournament stuff in a way that would be hard to swallow.
Yeah, I think where I center all of this is I just want to get back to another Brian Cook three from the top of the key in that 4-1 game. I want to get back to that moment. Like, had Cook made that three, we would have beat Kansas, and I feel like we would have made the Final Four that year. There's been all these moments where it's like right there and it doesn't happen. So I just feel like this team can get to that moment and overcome it. So I'm going to will that into existence.
Thank you. Please do. Please do. Yes. Please do.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate you joining me. Oh, I know you're crazy busy. So.
Oh no, this is good for the soul.
Yes.
This is talking. If I wasn't having this conversation with you, I would be having it into a mirror right now.
Yes.
I am really, really antsy about this game. To say the very least. My one last hot take prediction, by the way.
Yep.
I think the Big Ten is going to have a really good year. Okay. This is my that's my big hot take. I kind of love, I think Underwood had that great quote. He's like, I'm so sick of this conference. I'm so sick of these people. I want to play not from this conference. And I think you see that. And I think, and I know last year was a disappointment, but I think the construction of last year's teams were a little different. There weren't these, in like the superstars were all guys like Kofi and Slavic Thor over in Iowa. Like, you know, they weren't like, they have like a guy like Ivy and have a guy like Davis. Those guys can take over games. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think the Big Ten is going to, after the disaster that was last year, is going to make a really good showing in the tournament. Now, will Illinois be one of the teams to do so? I actually do believe so. But I expect, how many, like, there's only one Big Ten team in the Sweet 16 last year, right? It was Michigan. I think it was just Michigan that got there.
Yeah.
And which is incredible when you really kind of think about it. I think you're going to see three, maybe four, or even four this year. I'm optimistic about the Big Ten this year.
Including the orange and blue. We're going to will it to happen. So
I know. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, by the way. I know that you are team root against the Big Ten in the tournament. And I understand. Uh-huh. I'm always surprised myself. Because there's an old joke about when you're watching a game that you don't know who you're rooting for. Just keep watching and you will discover who you are rooting for.
Yep.
And I generally find that in games like this, I tend to find myself rooting for the Big Ten as long as it's not Indiana.
Yeah. See, everybody has their, for me, it would be as long as it's not Iowa. For others, people who live on the Wisconsin border, obviously you're going to say the Badgers. Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
My thing is, has gotten worse since I've started traveling to every game and this and that. Just being in visiting arenas. I've found I can even hate Nebraska fans. Like, just sit down. It wasn't a foul. Shut up. You know, as that brews within me, what brings this contempt when it comes down to the tournament. And I hate everybody and I want them to lose. So
fortunately, Illinois fans are not prone to such behavior.
Yes.
And so therefore we do not have to worry about it. Last shout out. Last thing I'll do as we're taping this, Indiana is playing Wyoming in the first four game. This is my shout out to my man, Drake Jeffries. Drake Jeffries from Mattoon, Illinois, my hometown of Mattoon, Illinois. And not just from my hometown, I graduated with his mom. That is where I am in my life. Darla Jeffries, sweet, wonderful person. I saw her at the 25th class reunion a couple of years ago. She's absolutely great. But her son, Drake Jeffries, plays for Wyoming. Hopefully will beat Indiana. I don't know if he has a year of eligibility. He's a great shooter. That's all he does.
Yeah, I believe they call him Drake Jeff Threes in Wyoming. Yes.
Well, we did not call Darla that in English.
Okay, good.
But probably for the best, yes. but She is a wonderful, wonderful person, and I'm very, very excited to see Matt Toon. I think the last Matt Toon player to play big-time college basketball was Chris Hollander, who played for Evansville back in the day and was an assistant coach on Quanzo Martin's staff until they all got fired.
Look at the Matt Toon fun facts will never stop flowing.
Never, never stop. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I'll go forever.
Shout out. I mean, I just, you know, you're educating people that say Mattoon as well, right?
Oh, yeah, it's Matt Toon. There are two T's. Pronounce them both. There's two of them. Yes. It's not M-A-T-O-O-N. There's two T's. Pronounce them both, you monsters.
Love it. Love it. Okay, thanks, Will. I appreciate it. Let's get to the second weekend.
That sounds wonderful. Thanks. Safe travels, Robert. Have a great time.
Love it. Thanks.